Center podcast with Poland Jettis.
Right about now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. Let's all welcome the world's godfather of soul,
Poland Jettis.
It's Jettis, actually.
Will you fuck up, Tate?
What's happening, people? Welcome to the General Banter podcast. Before we get going, I do want to remind you that your boy is on an Irish tour.
Up the raw.
And people, you know, the politicized amongst you will be going, you've gigged in the north of Ireland, is that an Irish tour? No, we are delving down south. There is a border, whether we like it or not, when it comes to people going down south. All these guys up here doing well, going over to the UK, all that business, doing their London gigs. No one's ventured down south too much, okay? And that's where I'm going. And it kicks off on the 1st of March. If you go to colingettis.com, you can see all the tour dates. We're going to Letterkenny. Apparently it's sold out. And then we move on to various other places. I can't remember exactly the order of it. Limerick, Galway. Can you hear that? Can you hear that actual storm outside? Where else are we going? Drogheda. We've got... Can you hear that? It is like deadliest catch outside the door. We're going on an Irish tour. Get on to colingettis.com and check it out. There's going to be a lot of that. There's going to be a lot of me talking and then pausing and going, is that the end? Is this the end as the roof comes off the building? Yeah, colingettis.com for all the Irish tour dates. We're going everywhere. Cork, Limerick. That is quite distracting now, you know, now that it really... Think about it. We're in the midst of Storm Isha. Isha, pain in my bollocks right now, I'll tell you that. Isha, hard word to fucking pronounce. You know, normally they're regular names. Is it regular names? Racist. Normally it's like Storm Graham, and everyone's able to say that. But now that it's Isha, you know, I don't know if, what does that sound? That's like something, that's like a name someone gives to a husky when they buy it, you know? That's our Isha. Our Isha would never rip the throat out of a toddler. You know what I mean? But we've got this storm at the minute. Obviously, there's work going on in our house. We haven't shut the fuck up about it. We're staying with the in-laws. And I come up here to do my little podcasts. Great to talk to you. Great to see you. And... the garden, because there's work going on and, you know, there's these big ton bags that maybe some sand was delivered in or something. We've then started to use those for rubbish, you know, off cuts of wood. Packaging the things come in, bits of wood come, you tear the plastic off it, you put it in this big bag. Overnight, Isha has fucking blown that all around the perimeters of the garden. So, and I mean, like, there's a hedge over here that separates us into the I suppose... you're in the countryside, you say neighbours, you know, there's a fucking hedge and then there's a big bit of grass and then there's another house over there. But it's quite a high hedge and, I mean, there's fucking plastic in the top of it floating around like a flag. There's polystyrene around all of the perimeter. There's a yellow bucket, you know, Mark McCartney's favourite. There's a yellow bucket in the fucking hedge. And it was I pulled in this morning and it was like, you know, a better man than me would take a bit of pride in his house and tidy that up. But I was just like, what's the point? It's going to happen again. I drive up the driveway. The bins are on their side. Fucking disaster. And then we get the worst news of all, where the play school ring us and tell us that the play school's off. And you're like, oh, great. Great. Plans out the window. Plans out the window. And Maureen's like, you go do your wee podcast. I'll just stay here and look after the child. And I was like, okay. Okay. I will. These people can't cope without me. So here we are. But the storm is causing a ruckus. And here's the thing, we're in the top floor of Maureen's parents' house and there's like a skylight and Jesus Christ, the noise. You know, we're all sleeping in the one room. I woke up a few times. I was like, right, that has to be it. That has to be trees falling in the house. That is fucking nuts. But we love a good storm. We love a good bit of weather over here. I mean, anywhere else in the world would laugh this off, you know, places that are used to it. Oh, you got a wee bit of wind, that's crazy. Oh, you got a wee bit of flooding, that's crazy. Places get absolutely fucked bad, but Northern Ireland, mild across the board. I've said it before, I'll say it again. We don't know how to cope with shit, you know. We're used to, here's what we're used to. Across the board, we're dialed up to about two. We have about 2 out of 10 rain. We've 2 out of 10 sunlight. We've 2 out of 10 coldness. It's all very, I mean, that's why it's so luscious. You know, it's kind of wet. It's not freezing all the time. You know, you can grow fucking grass like a motherfucker. Cows eat it, you know, sweet butter, all that shit. Oh, message. But we can't deal with it when it goes above a certain level. There's trees falling down. People are freaking out. You know, we live in a smallish, we live in the countryside. So all the little local towns are like putting up their posts. Attention. And they know everyone will see it. They'll be like, attention. And it's so specific. They put, attention, there's a tree falling down outside Davy Donnelly's. And everyone goes, oh, I know exactly what that is. I'll know to avoid it in the future. So specific. But I'll tell you what, you know, they do come out. There's boys waiting around all year like, I've fucking been waiting to use this fucking chainsaw. You will get that in the countryside, which you won't get in the city. Like, you know, something happens in the city and, you know, you're like, oh God, someone else will take care of that. Not in the countryside. They're like, there's a tree down outside fucking Davy Donnelly's. 20 fellas. You know, it's like one of those lumberjack competitions. Fucking get out of my way. And then they end up fighting each other. No, let me do it. Let me do it. I'll be getting the free pints at the weekend. Same thing happened when, you know, Maureen crashed, had that car crash. You know, the fucking Avengers assemble. Boy's like, I'll get such and such. He has a fucking digger and fucking this boy will pull the car off the road. And it was gone. It was like there was no car crash. 7 minutes later, it was like there was never a car crash. It was insane. And it's a great thing because, you know, I watched the Tommy Tiernan show last night and he had this woman on who was like, had the fucking, you know, the proper AI arm and leg. And she was like, I mean, one of those stories where you're like, I've got goosebumps up the back of my ass. I'm sweating and I'm just watching this on an iPad in bed. You know, one of those ones where you're like, Jesus fucking Christ. This girl went to get on a train or something in London, like a tube, decided, oh no, this is the wrong, I don't know what way the story went, but she was like, decided to get off the train. Then she's like, oh, I'll get back on. She was off a stop early. Her fucking leg gets caught. She goes down the gap, mangles her fucking leg and arm. And then the second train comes, she gets hit by that. And she kept going, like, she was saying, like, I was lying there going like, oh, my name's fucking, you know, Sharon or whatever. And I've been terribly injured and I don't want to die. And what are people doing? Headphones in, head down, minding their own business. She's just like, help me! It's like that bit in fucking in Will Ferrell in Austin Powers. My leg is quite badly broken. What does he say? It's beginning to smell a lot like almonds or something, which I think that's what he says. I can't remember. Doesn't even make sense, but it's funny. And, you know, everyone's just like fucking headphones in. You know, they're living in London. They're stressed out. They're probably listening to fucking some sort of meditation. Breathe in gently for four. Boom, 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 boom. She's just legs cut off. But anyway, that's my point. It's nice living on the countryside. You know, people have your back and whatever, you know. It's good times. That Tommy Tiernan show was interesting. You know, just getting people on. I don't know, is there like a rhythm to it where they get people on, like one person he knows, one person he doesn't, one person, I don't know. But he had Dylan Moran on there and he was like, I'm worried about you. And he's like, what? What are you worried for? And he's like, you know, you seem to be on a tour a lot, you know, apparently he broke up with a wife, you're doing a lot of drinking. And he's like, oh, that's fine. And then he started, I mean, it is an insight to the lifetime career of a comedian. You know, you just end up drunk on a TV show going like, yeah, man, I'm just tired of fucking talking to people, tired of making them laugh. Del Morn's like, oh, I've got into music, I can't play it, but it's more of a challenge than, I mean, that's how sick people get of comedy. They're like, I'm sick of fucking killing every time I go up there, so now I've started playing music because I'm shite at it. They just need a challenge. But I was watching that, and I was like, well, if I wasn't already stressed out from the fucking girl losing her arm and leg, now I'm depressed about being an actual comedian for the span of my lifetime. Jesus Christ. But anyway, I get it. You know, I've been doing stand-up, 14 years or something? And I, you know, I'm trying to, you know, everything's becomes a business, and you're trying to work it out. Go like, how can I bring this back to its grassroots and just have fun with it? And then I'll go through that period, and then, but I'll always be thinking of a way out. You know, people talk about fighters. If you're thinking about retirement, you should quit now. You know, maybe that's the case. I don't know. But you're sort of like, you know, when you've had your kids and your fucking house and your success and you've done your fucking, your big gigs and your whatever, and like Delamore, I'm sure, Money in the Bank and all that. At a certain point, you're like, maybe should I write a book? Maybe I should do something where I can just do this from the house instead of, you know, being miserable in a fucking airport for the rest of my life. I don't know, but I don't know. I couldn't sleep anyway. Give me the shits. I was lying there like fucking, what the fuck is going on here? Mental. As the storm battered the fucking life out of the house. But anyway, that's how the week's been going. Pretty standard week, to be honest with you. Just watch a load of shite. We had an interesting email the other week from a producer that was, I don't know if I mentioned this in the last podcast. It was a message from a producer on the Graham Norton show. And he was like, hey guys, just wondering if we could have permission to use the photo of Kevin Hart at Lavery's Comedy Club because, you know, we're going to talk about him running his warm-up sets in Belfast, and his first show was at Lavery's. And we got very excited. You know, we were very pumped. We were like, this is going to be class. You know, he might actually say the words at Lavery's Comedy Club on the Graham Norton show. And we got hyped. You know, we were sitting around. Maureen was hovering around the TV with the fucking phone out. Like, here we go. He's going to drop the L-bomb. And he never did. I'll Kevin Hart, you know, he just fucking chatted over everybody. And that was sad. That was a sad thing. But here, you know, what can you do? We were sold out the next week anyway. Who gives a flam fuck? But that would have been nice. And I see a question here on the Patreon. Did you watch Big Kev's film he done here, Lift? I haven't watched it. And I never will. Like, I don't have a lot of spare time in the evenings anyway to watch things. And I'm certainly not going to watch that. No harm to him. With the list of shit that I need to watch, I'll probably not be watching Lift, Kev. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But I'll probably not be watching it. I'll tell you what we did watch, though. We watched Last One Laughing, hosted by Graham Norton. What was it on? Prime? I thought it was an RT. It's on Prime. There was like an Australian show, Last One Laughing, which we watched before, which was so funny. Where we had, they had a bunch of Australian comedians in this house trying to make each other laugh. And you were not, you know, the rules are you're not allowed to laugh. And if you laugh, you get a warning. And if you laugh again, you get fucked out. And they made an Irish version of it. And you should go check it out because there's people like Martin Angolo. He's got a tour show in Lavery's. That's another thing I want you to do. We're trying to establish Sundays in Lavery's. So we've got a lot of tour shows coming in. So if you're one of those guys or gals or thems who can't get into Lavery's on a Wednesday and Thursday, we're starting to launch a load of Sunday shows. So if you go to the Instagram and go to tour shows, get some tickets for some of the touring acts coming around. Probably be emceed by one of the locals, aka me. But Martin Angolo, he was on the... And it's funny because he's such a... You know, he's... You know, there's a few types of comedians. You know, you've got the absolute clown who's just like, I will make an absolute tit of myself. I don't mind everybody watching me. And then you got a guy like him. You know, he's a big, cool guy, just kind of quiet, you know, with some fucking dry, witty jokes. You know, unbelievable comedian. And he was on that show. And he was just being cool in the background. You know, he didn't need to fucking dance around like the rest of them. He was just sitting there like, no, let's wait for something funny to do, you know. But that's the whole idea. That Jason Byrne and fucking Aisling Bea and David McSavage and Paul Tylak and all these ones, Tony Cantwell. And I was watching it going like, this is mad, isn't it? The idea is to get in there and act a bit of a fool and get the other people to laugh. With you not laughing. And I was watching it going like, Imagine if they made that with, you know, all the naughty boys and girls. You know, if they had a version of that. I don't think it would last very long. I mean, the Irish version of it, like everyone, there was a couple of dry shites in there who were like, oh, I don't laugh at anything anyway, so this is going to be a walk in the park, just sitting there like, you know, they've got two decades of bitching about other comedians and not laughing at them. So they can fucking pull it off easy. I was just thinking what it would be like if we had all the ones up here in a house, like. I mean, you know, people are trying hard, they're putting on masks, they're running around trying to be funny and all. You know, if you had the likes of Aaron McCann just lying on his side like a fucking beached manatee and doing what he does in my office, which is every once in a while just throw his leg in the air and just go, bah! Like, there's only so many of those you can take, you know? I'm trying to think of things I do that make, you know, if I'm in the office with fucking Aaron and Niall and fucking Mexican Dave, what makes them laugh, you know? Sporadic bouts of violence for me, where, like, you know, Aaron's always talked about, like, oh, you'll knock something over, and in order to cover up the embarrassment of that, you'll double down. You know, so I'll be like, oh, I knocked that drink over, and then I'll just flip the table for no reason. And he'll laugh his head off. Is he scared? Maybe. You know, but it's entertaining. You know, Dave Elliott, he not shy of getting the dick out. You know, he'd come in some sort of sumo fucking getup. I don't think it would last long. I think, you know, the Irish one, they could drag out for fucking, what was it, 6 or 8 episodes. I feel if they did that up here, it'd be done. It'd be done pretty quick, like. Do you know people make, I think people be making fake teeth. People would be saying some horrific things in order to make people laugh. You know, there'd be no shame about that. But I was watching the show going like, I tell you what nobody's thought of, tickling, you know? They'd be like, next up on Last One Laughing, Colin Geddes, and I just come in, you know? I'd savile hands on me. You know, start tickling people. That would fucking knock 6 people out straight away. That's the other thing. If you did it with comedians from Northern Ireland, they're all too familiar. You know, you'd be in there having, you know, their snacks. First of all, we'd demolish the fridge and beers immediately. You know, everybody sort of took their time in there and they've been in for like 4 hours and like, should we have a wee slice of toast here? Straight in. The boys would be straight into the buffet. Aaron would be head down, not talking to anybody. Mickey be straight in that fridge, you know, 5 minutes in, Jager Bobs, you know, he'd be all over that. There'd be a lot of just fingers and asses and stuff, like, you know, someone bends it, oh, I'm just buttering a bit of toast. Jam your fingers up their ass. It would be depraved. Maybe, you know, everybody's doing these comedians, you know, stars in their eyes and all that shit. I'm doing the comedian's darts, which I'm going into with full confidence and zero ability. I'm going to shit talk my way to winning. And I tell you, if you're going to watch that, you're in for a long night, because I cannot fucking, nobody can play darts. I think maybe Sean can play darts because it was his idea. Because that's what you do. You start to, like, I'll have like a comedian's fucking grappling match or something. Something that I would be mad confident that I would win. You know, they've had the stars in their eyes, they've had quizzes, they've had fucking boxing. Doing that too, for fuck's sake. Why not have a, you know, Northern Irish comedian's Last One Laughing? I think it'd be done in 14 minutes, to be honest with you. And once again, I'd go in that with full confidence. I'd win that. Sitting around staring at everyone like, that's not funny. And then just insert violent bouts of rage for their entertainment. Either that, or it would just get, you know, it would go on too long and everybody would just be coming out with like a sock over their dick and balls. You know, someone would be, you know, coming out there just making a show of themselves. And eventually it would probably just get down to like Paddy McDonald and Dave Elliott making like balloon animals out of their dick with everyone sitting around watching. Interesting. But it'd be a cool experiment, I think. Even Maureen's family were like, oh, we should do that at Christmas. Play a game of Last One Laughing. Because they love a Christmas game. You know, But you're dealing with a professional here. I'll have the cock balloon animals out. Quick. Early doors. You know, in front of my in-laws. Look at that. A Big Mac. Let me look that up, actually. What sort of cock balloon animals can you do? Penis puppetry. That's right, there is a show about that. My Google search has taken a hammering over the last while. I mean, that is a live show. Like, that's probably at the Edinburgh Fringe. There's a guy squatted down there, yanking his pipe. Yanking it. There's a guy, what's he doing there? He's got a, yeah, I mean, the guy's in good nick, like, you know. I mean, that guy's got a tiny penis, so, I don't know what sort of shapes he could be doing, you know. Here we go. A raspberry, you know, up next. A marshmallow, you know. Oh, there we go. Like, the hamburger, of course. How could I forget? Place the testicles on your fingertips. Roll the penis between the testicles. Turn on a 90-degree angle, squeeze the testicles, and hold like a hamburger. And that's a great picture there. It does look like a hamburger. It really does look like a hamburger. The Eiffel Tower, which, you know, that's for our brothers with the... My God. That's for the guys with a decent bit of fur on them. Decent bit of foreskin. You can yank the foreskin into a point along with the penis down the ways. To give it an Eiffel Tower shape, you know, that sort of wide base going into a point. And that guy has some hairy balls, like. I don't suffer from having mad hairy balls, which I'm very thankful for, because this guy has, I mean, he's got a full beard going on there. What else we got in the penis world? I think the best penis to have for the puppetry type things is a long, soft penis. I would worry if I was on stage playing around a bit too much with the dick that it would force a bit of blood into it, and all of a sudden I'd be up there going, I can only do one puppet, and it's sausage. This one's called the Windsurfer. Stretching the scrotum outwards, holding the furthest corner, as if the scrot has a corner. Pull the penis skyward while stretching out the scrotum. And that creates a sort of windsurfer type scenario. These pictures are great. These are amazing. These pictures, because they look like they're from a textbook from the 80s. The wristwatch, of course, requires quite a sizable pipe. Take the head of the penis in your right hand, place it inside the left wrist, roll the wrist towards your body. And that gives you, of course, the wristwatch. I dare say puppetry of the penis is quite a short show, because, I mean, like, you've got the burger, you got the windsurfer, you got the hamburger. Excuse me. Do we have anything else? The Loch Ness Monster. Okay. I mean, you'd have to ice your bag after this, yanking them all directions. Grasp the head of the penis with one hand. Clicked on a back. Sorry. Grasp the head of the penis with one hand and pull sideways with the other. Hold the testicles next to each other, prop the testicles to create two humps. Pinch the penis below the head and raise skywards. Search is over. Nessie does exist. There you go. And one quick scan to see if we have anything else. That seems to be the hamburger, the Eiffel Tower, puppetry of the penis, hamburger, windsurfer. Do we have any more? No, that seems to be the height of it. Yeah, it's a short show. And that, you know, there'll be no high five in the crowd after that. You know, when you're running around with those fucking goddamn Parmesan hands. Oh my God. There's a guy there rolling. You know, he's basically, you know, it looks like he's rolling his cock together like this here. I mean, that one guy is. I mean, what a gross show. There's no, I mean, the guy's squatting a lot, you know what I mean? He's getting that gape that we talked about on the bomb squad. You know, if you went to see that in the Edinburgh Fringe and it was a small enough venue, there's only so long you can have a cock and balls and asshole gaping and spreading, squishing, There's only so long you can do that under those hot lights before the room just smells not great. You know, absolutely gross. There's a real life hamburger. My God. And you know, if there's someone that's been doing puppetry of the penis for quite a few years, it's just going to be absolutely red out. The cock will be stretched. Not in a good way, you know, not in a I've got a big dick way. It'll just be absolutely, like you've let the air out of it, the balls will be just loose. What's this guy doing? He's just standing with the dong out. What a freak show. I mean, if it was puppetry of the tits, you know, you would get a lot of perverts in there. But puppetry of the penis, you know, I don't know what sort of... Oh my God. I've just noticed the guy in this photo who's stretching his bag asunder also has a camera rig set up just below his cock and bollocks. And then I've just noticed in the background there, giant screen. So there you go. If you're wondering, you know, if you're ever going to see Puppetry of the Penis and you're like, oh man, there's only seats available in the back row. Don't worry. Because the guy has, he's got a close-up camera on the dick and bollocks there, which is then projected onto the screen, which is terrifying, really, to be honest. And with the way camera technology's going, the definition on that is going to be horrific. You know, you get a fucking... What is this guy doing? Oh, he's doing a handstand and the girl's holding his legs and she's just staring right up his shitter there. That's a long night for that young lady. Hey, Colin, you've spent way too much time talking about puppetry of the cock. Yeah, I know, but it's showbiz, isn't it? I'm learning. That's the see the old crowd participation. Who wants to come up and hold my legs while I do a handstand? That is just... I just don't know who's into that, you know? God damn it, what's this guy doing? God. I don't know what I was expecting. I think I was expecting... I mean, it's much like sports and all that sort of business. Once black guys take over that business, game over. You know, they're going in, they're going, these white boys can do three... They can do the Eiffel Tower... They can do the fucking Loch Ness Monster, the Windsurfer, and the hamburger. And that's their whole catalogue of cock puppets. Those black guys going in there like, do you want the three of us to plait our cocks together? We can do that. They're doing full-blown balloon animals. He's like, what do you want? I don't know what, immediate black scent. I'm like, what do you want, a fucking... do you want a dog balloon puppet? There you go. Oh, God. We'll sleep tonight.
Will you fuck up, dude?
We'll sleep tonight, guys. With the info about puppetry of the penis. There we go. Point proven. There's a man. There. Okay. I was going to say, there's a man who's involved in puppetry of the penis. And now he has basically a pepperami for a cock, like a monkey cock. Long, stretched out. But then on a closer inspection there, he's got the end of the dick pierced and he's got a fucking, what are those, like a hook clip thing? Like a carabiner through the end of it. No doubt attached to weights. So the cock, it is a pepperami. You know, it's about that long. It's just been stretched to death. What a life. What a career. And, you know, there must be nothing more painful than the post-show piss. You know, the two guys talking to each other, man, did you get a piss last night? I couldn't even. My cock was beating the fucking bits. Great. We've covered it all.
Will you fuck up, dude?
We've covered it all. This show has taken a dark turn. Yeah. Mental. What I will do, however, is we got a pile of questions. We want to keep it lighthearted. Obviously, the world's falling apart and, you know, flipping. We could go into that. I could become one of those podcasts where I'm like, what about Palestine? But I don't know enough. I know what I know. You know, I'm just picking up bits and pieces from the news in between videos of children being murdered. So, yeah, we'll keep it lighthearted. Shout out to Netanyahu. You going to give these boys a break at all? Nah. Do you want to give them their own state? Nah. Oh, well, that means, what, are you just going to get rid of them all? Yeah. Pretty much. I seen the highlights from what was on TikTok, obviously, but it was from like, it was taken out of a documentary called, what was it called? Taranta or something? Tarantula? Taranta? Probably getting that completely wrong. Taranta Doc? Is it Doc? Documentary? Yeah, I think, let me see this here. Yeah, it was basically, film examines one village, Taranta. How hundreds of Palestinian villages were depopulated. Yeah, and they're just talking to like soldiers who were like with laughing on their face, like, yeah, fucking bro, we fucking raped everybody and then just chopped them into pieces in front of their kids. What are we like? Absolutely demented. I don't know. I mean, I don't fucking, sometimes, you know, it happened in this country too, where it was like, yes, there's a conflict and yes, there's a dispute over something, but then it does just reveal, you're just like, here, convenient time for you to be operating as an actual psychopathic killer in the midst of all this. You know, sometimes those wars and conflicts just give people who might probably want to do that anyway a reason to be like, yeah, I'm just gonna fucking, here we go. We got the green light, boys, to go in and fucking murder everybody in the most horrific way possible. Grim. So we'll keep it light. We'll keep it light. We got a ton of questions on Patreon. Thanks to everyone who jumped over into Patreon. We have a podcast up there with my wife, which was a lovely little experience. We'll probably try and do a lot more of that. We were discussing, you know, people jumping into their New Year's resolutions in January and what feels like the shittest time. And then I said, you know, you should probably do it in like April or something when there's a bit of a spring vibe in the air and you feel a bit more energetic, you know. And then Maureen said her new year starts in like September. And then our boy Adrian here agreed. Said the new year should definitely be September. I went straight from studying to teaching. So it's always been September for me. There you go. There you go, my man. Is right. I was at my sister's house yesterday and we took our son, obviously. And you might have seen the clip I put up a while ago of me telling Mickey about my brother-in-law accidentally hoovering up two birds, which he was distraught about. You know, the guy is, you know, it's his whole life, these fucking birds. But we were there yesterday and Eddie was able to play with, not play with the birds, like he would take a wee bird out and be like, look at this wee tiny bird, do you want to pet it? Eddie, beside himself, you know? What a lovely experience. But anyway, we'll answer some of these questions. Well, these are great questions. What's a good pair of shoes to get something comfortable? Or what's a good pair of shoes to get something comfortable and not super expensive? I love these questions, man. People are just coming to me for shoe advice. You know, I put these questions up and I'm like, what? You know, ask me some questions. Get the conversation started. But this is really what I'm hanging in there for. People ask me about shoes. Something comfortable, not super expensive. I don't know, man. What's not super expensive? Because once you're in that sneaker business, you know, you'll not look twice at buying a pair of shoes for 220 quid to immediately get stinking walking around in the sludgy piss around here. Look at these messages coming through, man. Fucking hell. Tons of them. I don't know, man. Vans or something? What sort of trainers are you going for? You need to be more specific. You get it for sports? You get it for lifestyle? I would obviously push you into the realm of like New Balance. Big fan of New Balance. You can buy the regular ones or you can buy the American ones, which are fucking three times the price for no reason at all. Get yourself a pair of fucking... You see, you can't go wrong with something like Vans, though. Vans kind of go with everything. People shitting on those Panda Dunks, which everyone has a pair of. Those black and white Nike Dunks. And because they're super popular, you know, they might have fallen into that realm of white Converse, black Vans, Pandas, Air Force Ones that are white. It's just it's a standard shoe. People just buy it, goes with everything. It's all good. But because they're popular, you get all these sneakerheads going like, oh, it's the worst shoe to ever be released. And you're like, is it the worst shoe? Because it's probably sold more than any shoe in the last fucking 10 years. Everyone has a pair. I have a pair that are almost pandas, but they're kind of black and gray with a wee orange tick on them. Got them out of size, bro. Yeah, get yourself a pair of dunks, man. I've changed my mind. Get a pair of dunks. Maybe not the panda ones if you don't want to look like a 13-year-old girl, but, you know, they do look cool with most things. Any damage from the storm? Yes, place is fucked. Thanks for asking. Talal Jomar, anything big planned for 2024? Well, I've went on non-stop about this, but, you know, things are very busy with the comedy club and my own tour and my own family and things like that. And certain things like videos take a backseat, travel and stuff takes a backseat. But I've said it already in the podcast, things are changing. The boys are booking trips, which is great because, you know, I have a fantastic wife. You know, especially as a comedian, if I turn around to Maureen and say, the guys are thinking of going to Canada for St. Paddy's Day, she'd be like, oh, great, fantastic, have a lovely time. She would like to go to Canada, but she's like, yeah, go and do your gigs, have a bit of crack, come back, and make sure there's a luxury holiday lined up for us. That's all she wants. That's all she wants in return. You go have your fun, and then we go have our fun, our luxury fun in the background. So yeah, a bit of travel. McCarney and Aaron were around the other day. We've got a fantastic idea for a show, which is going to be fun if we get the time to do it. I've got my friend starting booking a bit of stuff for Lavery's for me. So I'm trying to get rid of all my responsibilities so I can just have a real faff about. Obviously, Talal's asking, is there anything planned for 2024? Beating the fuck out of you, bro. Me and him are supposed to be fighting in the comedians boxing. And both of us have been training already for a few months. Both of us thick boys. You know. So it's going to be a real barnstormer. Or we'll both be knackered in 20 seconds and just kind of be hugging for the rest of the time. But, you know, it'll be exciting to watch, you know what I mean? Meanwhile, in Alabama, this is sent in by Naomi Mitchell, so no doubt this is fucking disgusting. Let me see what's going on here.
How was that? Okay, if you guys can see, I am literally sweating so badly. What was that one?
I never want to do that again.
What'd I do for YouTube?
I think you need to quit YouTube.
I know.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Alright, so thank you so much to my sister, Caitlin, for being here.
Okay. Why is that
How
so?
That? Okay,
why is that so difficult to watch when you know their brother and sister? There's basically just a couple, guy and a girl, really, really just fucking tonguing each other there. He's like, I never want to do this again. The things I do for YouTube.
I think you need to quit YouTube.
I know.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. All right. So thank you so much to my sister, Caitlin, for being.
Bro, they're fairly going for it. I don't even know if I've kissed my wife that passionately. She's got fucking hair in her mouth and all, man. I'm hard. Now I'm hard. Well, there you go. Just a brother and sister kissing. That couldn't be real. Like, how do you even bring that up with your fucking... Oh, God. It's made me feel very uncomfortable. The things people do for YouTube. It's getting out of hand. YouTube, reels, all these things. People going and seeing people nearly, you know, like pretending to fucking rob someone at an ATM and the guy turns around with a fucking pistol and he's like, get the fuck out of my face. And you're like, oh, it's a prank. It's a prank. You're going to get killed one of these days. This guy, you know, tonguing his sister. That's probably illegal, is it? Full snogging his sister. Even if I was after the clout, and was like, man, let me do some wild stunt for... Oh my God, I can't even say it. Imagine I said to my sister, do you want to tongue kiss me on a YouTube video? What? Fuck off. Didn't know why I had to say that. But here we are. That's left me feeling very strange. Why do you think this country overreacts to all of its weather? Too hot, over 20 degrees. everyone seems to think they will melt, but if there's even a single flake of snow, everyone battens down the hatches thinking it's going to be the apocalypse. It's so true. We talked about it up top, but you know, like there will be like a mild bit of snow and people will be like, the school's closed, the roads are closed, it's a disaster. We live in the countryside, right? So we go to play school and, you know, it looks like fucking the Young Farmer's Bash when you get to the car park. Hiluxes, Land Cruisers, big Jeeps, X5s. Everybody's in a fucking Jeep because they live in the countryside. So the snow doesn't really bother anybody that much. And it didn't even fucking snow hard enough to have an effect. I was going down the driveway. I was like, let me bang the brakes on to try and make this thing skid. Nothing. You know, the all-wheel drive was in effect. It did nothing. You can't even have a bit of crack in the snow here. But yeah, people immediately shit themselves. Like there's been a bit of wind and my son is off play school today. Mental. What's happening with the comedians boxing this year? Is it going to happen and will either of you participate? Okay, so I don't know who either of me are, but yeah, I just said, Talal put a question in there. I'm supposed to be fighting him. And that's purely based on the fact that, you know, they vaguely group people into weight classes. And me and him, I dare say, would fall into heavyweight. And the reassuring thing is, I run into him all the time in cafes, you know, in the queue for food somewhere. I'm like, well, this is getting awkward. And that'll happen right up to the fight. No one's dieting. No one's going to get in shape. But people are just, we're just going to a couple of boxing classes a week and being like, well, hopefully this pays off. You know, I'm bulking. All of a sudden when it's competitive, you're like, I'm bulking. I'm adding on that size and that mass so that I can distribute harder punches. Which, by the way, like, you know, it was all a bit of a laugh. And then what happens is you start training and you start sparring a wee bit. And then it does get serious because you're going. And then the training starts to get serious. And then you're like, I better win. See if, because these boxing classes are grotesque. Like, I'm going, I'm hitting the pads, I'm being hit back. I'm fucking. And then at the end, when you're half clapped out, you know, my trainer's like, oh, we're going to do hectic cardio now to get you in good shape. And, you know, like, he'll be like, good session, fist bump. And then I just lie on the floor with steam coming off me for about 12 minutes till I can actually get back on my feet. It's brutal, like. But I'm supposed to be fighting Talal Joe Maher, a.k.a. Shaggy. Which will be fun. Hopefully. I don't know. Seen him hitting some pads the other day. That's the thing. When you get two boys that are thick, you know, it's not like two be lightweights, you know, toodling about. Who's fighting? Shane and Sean dinking each other up. Ding, 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 ding. Fuck that. It'd be like just avoiding absolute haymakers so you don't get knocked out in front of your friends and family. I don't think Aaron's doing it. Mickey's supposed to be fighting Paddy. He's training away. Hopefully he's back by the time June comes around. Shane Todd's fighting Sean Haggerty. I forget who else is involved. I think Chris Kent was supposed to be fighting Andrew Ryan or something, you know, Battle of the Cork Lords, but Chris Kent can't actually box, so that's a fucking, that'll be bad crack. Ryan Sloan, favourite exercise to do? None. Here's a fun thing that happened to boxing the other day. I was doing my cardio at the end, and it's usually like timed out, so it's like 40 seconds flat out on the ski erg, 40 seconds off, 40 seconds on the assault bike, 40 seconds off, 40 seconds fucking plank, 40 seconds off, and then we go, we lessen the time, you know, 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off, 30 seconds, 20, 20, 20. And at full clip, which at the end of the boxing session, you're like, could I be fucked with this? And then it also developed some sort of Achilles twinge, which was like, I've never had that in my life before. Now my Achilles is sore. What the fuck? Old. But he gets me on that assault bike and he goes, we're going to do 40 seconds. And he's looking at his clock and he goes, we want to get about 12 calories out. And I went, do you want me to stop? I was like, can I stop at 12 calories? And he goes, yep, if you can get to 12 calories, you can stop. And I went, no sweat. And in the back of my mind, I was like, little does he know, I have one of these. I actually enjoy it. So I jump on and he goes, beep. He's like, 5 seconds, 3, 2, 1, go. And I went, and just let go of it and did it in about fucking 12 seconds. And I, like, the last 3 calories, I wasn't even holding on the machine. Just went, and let go of it. And it went like 9, 10, 11, 12. And he laughed. And I was like, yeah, I got one of these. Don't you worry about it. I'm also heavy as fuck and reasonably powerful. So the calories get going immediately. I'm like one of those velodrome cyclists, you know, and they just hold them by the back of the wheel and then they're like, beep, 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 and they just fucking straight. Because people will start and they'll go zzz, and they'll wind it up and it'll take them fucking 8 seconds to get 1 calorie. Nah, bitch, I'm done at 8 seconds. So yeah, but now, did I fall off it and die because I was trying to show off? Almost. He's like, right, well, you can use the rest of the time to rest before you go into the ski arc, which, you know, that's a pain in the hole. You're fucking bending over. You're going to be sick. Fucking load of shit. But I'm doing the boxing now. I'm enjoying that. Enjoy doing a wee bit of boxing at home. Lost a little of my pants. All good. And yeah, just to, I mean, I'll do like what I call my fun weights, you know? So I'll go, you know, like if I don't have time and I go, right, I've fucking half an hour, 40 minutes here, I'll warm up and I'll do fucking squats and benches and a bit of hex deadlifts. Nothing heavy. Just, especially the deadlifts, I'm just like, just fucking grease the machine here. Just something with a bit of weight on it to get the ass moving. And then, you know, I'll do the squats. No, again, nothing heavy. Just because I like that feel, you know what I mean? I like doing a lot of them. Get that pump in the leg, you know? And they're like the fun ones, you know, you do your benches, you do your curls, all your fucking beach muscles. And then some things I'm just, are just maintenance, you know? So I'll be doing the fucking, the sort of slightly elevated squats, split squat type things, one leg, you know, weight in one hand. Just trying to stabilize those knees and fucking hips and whatnot. Keep the core good. Overhead press, you know, these are the two things that I shine at: overhead press and assault bike. Which, can't, you know what I mean? You're like, what's a better sign of strength than just being able to lift something over your head? Maybe if you could lift it up from the ground and over your head, I don't know. But let me see this video sent in by Michael Campbell. What is it? Open Spotify. Oh, he's sending me tunes, bruh. I'm going to get fucking 49 minutes, for fuck's sake. What's this now? Bird's Eye View with Raekwon, Joey Badass. Hello? Hello? Spotify can't play right now. Okay, right, I've got it plugged into the thing. Sorry, can't play right now. Apologies. I'll look that up later. Cheers for sending it in. Man, just got tabs open of the fucking penis of the puppetries. Big Shauna, bomb squad favorite there. Do you ever get creatively stuck in a rut? And if so, how do you get yourself out of it? No, I don't. And it's a bit like, I was talking about Tommy Tiernan's show where Dylan Moran was on it. And he goes, you know, I'm always like sketching or I'm always doing something. He goes, you know, he's saying to Tommy Tiernan, like, well, you know, what do you be at? What do you be at? You always got to be at something. And then he goes, it like physically hurts me when I can't just make something. And I'll be honest, like, you know, probably sound like a dickhead, but I do, it's fun to talk about all these creative things, isn't it? I don't ever get stuck in a creative rut. What I do get stuck in is having to be a fucking real human adult. The ideas are there. I mean, that's where the discomfort comes for me. Like, I'm not sitting around twiddling my pen going like, oh, fuck, what did I write about? Or have I got any ideas? Like, my problem is having an idea and not being able to act on it immediately and then going to bed going, fuck, that would be great, and then getting up and having to do regular fucking human things. and not be able to get at that, or like you want to do something with somebody and they're like, oh yeah, I'm free next Wednesday, and you're like, fucking hell, dude, just didn't I? That's where I run into problems. I have fucking a million ideas, a million, you know, I've had ideas recently there that I was super excited about, and then it was to do with Lavery's Comedy Club, and I wanted to do stuff around that, and I spoke to some other people, and they were basically just like, kind of talked me out of it. They were just like, what are you doing that for? I was like, I don't know, it'd just be cool to do. And they're like, oh, but what do you get out of it? And you're like, I don't know. It would just be cool to do. And then I was talking to Maureen about it, and I was like, yeah, you see, you know, I was talking to McCartney basically, and he, you know, she's like, he's probably a bit more cautious than you. And I was like, yeah, that's my problem. And I don't really think about what can go wrong, you know, more focused on the cool bit at the end. Which probably, you know, if some business fucking, one of these fucking experts online reviewed that, they're probably like, oh yeah, that's a good way to be. The good way to be is like, focus on the end instead of, you know, the hurdles you're going to come across on the creative journey. What the fuck am I talking about, man? Dickhead. I don't ever get stuck creatively. I get stuck in reality is my problem. What watches do you have now? Did we cover this? And are you I thought that's it. New watches or what new watches do you have now? Are you into knives? And then I thought it said and penis, etc. Pens, etc. Or is it the money going into the kitchen now? Nah, the money. What new watches do I have? Once again, I'm one of those guys. I've tried to explain this before. I do like what guys like things, you know, guys like bits of stuff and gadgets and whatever. I do like watches. I've always kind of liked them. But I'm like, if you compare it to cars, I'm not the car guy that has a G-Wagon and a Ferrari and a fucking Porsche lying in the driveway. I'm the guy that has a yard filled with like fucking half clapped out interesting shit. That would be me. And I'm actually a bit like that with cars. Like if you pulled up in your McLaren, I'd be like, oh fuck, fair play to you. It's fast as shit. Wouldn't give a fuck. But if you pulled up in like, oh, this is an old AMG Mercedes that they only made 100, I'd be like fucking squirting all over the place. And I'm the same with watches. You know, I like weird, interesting watches. Like if someone was like, oh, this is a fucking 160 grand platinum Rolex, I'd be like, great. And then if someone was like, oh, this is a Zodiac watch that the US military used to wear in Vietnam, I'd be like, oh yeah, interesting. I have a new watch on right now. It's, you know, it's a Casio G-Shock with camouflage around it, which was gifted to me by Mark McCartney. Who, by the way, Mark McCartney is a saint. You know, I am genuinely a fan of his. You know, if he puts a podcast up, I will listen to it. And I have loads of mates with podcasts, but I do listen to his. I enjoy all the output that he has. And then he sent me, this motherfucker sends me a box, right? I get this box and it says, Mr. Colin Geddes, blah, blah, printed out on a big page, stuck in a box. And I open it. I got it at the post box, put it in the car, drove to fucking the office or whatever, opened it a bit. All I saw in the box was a tin that said Carhartt on it. And I was like in a rush. So I was like, oh my God, this motherfucker bought me gifts. Like, what the fuck? And a t-shirt. And I was like, what the fuck is a t-shirt? I just briefly looked at it. The box is filled with like those wee polystyrene fucking packing peanuts. And I was like, what the fuck is that? Oh, God's sake, what's he doing? Got me a Van Nistad t-shirt. You know, we're both fans of Van Nistad. We're both fans of the same thing. Like, you know, watch those videos, talk about them. You know, he knows what I like. So he gets me, I look at that and I'm like, this motherfucker buying gifts and all, what's he doing? There's a letter in it. And there's, you know, he's half taking the piss. He's like, oh, my dearest Colin. And then it was like, thanks for everything you had me involved in or something in 2023, you know? And I'm like, I'm trying to scan through my brain. Like, what did he came on tour with me, opened at the SSE. I don't know. Maybe when you stack it up, like a bunch of cool things. But like, get me a fucking, you know what I mean? Do whatever else does. Give me nothing. Or be like, there's a bottle of whiskey. Who gives a fuck? This cunt, like, there was the t-shirt And then this would happen. I brought the box back. I didn't even get opening it properly because we had like a podcast then, Laveries and whatever. Brought it back in the house. Aaron's staying at my house. Me and him are standing there at 1 a.m. And I was saying to him, I was like, what is McCartney doing? Like, fucking buy me all this shit. Like, we didn't have to do that. And I opened it up. They're like, there's a t-shirt. That's cool as fuck. And then I opened the golden tin and there's like a Carhartt wallet in it that's camouflage. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy, like, what's he at? And then I'm like, there's bloody more shit in here. And I take it, there's like 2 field notes, fucking notebooks like that. You know, he's got me a fountain pen. And I'm like, this guy has gone over the top here. And McCann's there and he knows this has happened. He goes, I keep digging. And this box is filled with those wee fucking polystyrene things. And I keep digging. And I'm like, there's a fucking G-Shock box in there. I take that out, take the lid off. You know, he knows I'm obsessed with camouflage for some reason. And there's a goddamn G-Shock in there. And I'm like, what is happening here? You trying to fuck or what? You know? It looked like, you know, you took my Amazon basket for a year and gave it to me all in one go. Hundreds of pounds worth of shit. And he probably hates me airing this out. But I don't know. They, you know. And then I said to Maureen, and I was like, you know, why would he be buying me so many gifts? She's like, I don't know. You do a lot of stuff for a lot of people. And I don't know. He's one of the few ones that actually fucking notices it. And I was like, I don't know, fair play. But it was, you know, I was almost, I mean, the guy's a goddamn, you know, he's a lovely guy. Very thoughtful. You know, unbelievable gifts. Things I would have fucking bought myself. So I was taken aback and I was just, I was literally in shock. I was just standing with Aaron McCann in my bedroom and I was just saying to him, I was like, why did he get all this? Why did he get all that? Which is probably some sort of trauma response, you know, when you can't have compliments or people do anything for you or get you anything or do anything nice for you. You're just like, why? What have I done to deserve any of this? But fair play to him. The guy's got impeccable taste and knows what I like. Because I immediately was like, I'm writing in the book with the fountain pen. I've got the watch on. I'll put the t-shirt on tomorrow and I've transferred wallets straight away. Unbelievable. God bless Mark McCartney. So my point is, I'm wearing a G-Shock, can't beat it. As Nico from Pride and Pinion would say, God tier. Am I into knives and pens too? I'm not into them, like I've got tons of them, but I do have a few knives. I've got that Gerber fucking murderous knife, which I bought during the lockdown to cut up. We were getting so many Amazon packages that I couldn't keep track of it. So I was just like, I'm going to buy a hilarious knife to cut these into bits. So I've got that for, which I leave beside the desk in case anyone breaks in here and they're getting fucking knifed to death. And then just a couple of pocket knives. I got myself and Niall a, what do you call it? What's the fucking multi-tool called? Leatherman. Got us a couple of those, Leatherman's got his engraved, so that's pretty cool. So not mad into them, like I've got loads of them. And pens. I like those field notes, notebooks. And pens are very much like, if it feels nice, I don't care if it's expensive or cheap. Like I bulk bought. There's like this zebra pen or something. And I was like, that feels nice in my hand. And writes nice. I'm going to buy fucking 500 of them. So there we are. Hey, Colin. Boring. Talking about pens. Is there much difference mentally in doing stand-up versus a podcast in the sense that do you need to switch on performance mode for a podcast like you would for a gig, or is it much more relaxed? I don't know. I get a bit like, sometimes you definitely have to ramp yourself up for a podcast, you know? And for some reason, exhausting. Like it's hard to explain, but like when we do Bomb Squad, we record for an hour and then we do the Patreon right after, and me and Aaron will be like fucking wrecked, like absolutely wrecked, and you're like, what is that? Is that just mental energy? I don't know, but the two of us are like fucked after it, and then you've got to go to Laveries after, and you're like, man, we'll go eat something and fucking splash our face with cold water and do a couple of star jumps here, get a bit of energy going. What you don't get in a podcast is, you know, surging adrenaline. But you do get a wee bit of like, you do get a wee bit of nerves because, you know, everybody thinks that you got to do it in one take. Like, you could easily do 15 minutes and break and then 15 minutes and break. And a lot of people think it has to be an hour or more. But you could just have a wee casual chat, you know. Let me just... J-Red, P1 pisser at work, drops his jeans and underwear for a slash. First noticed it after opening a cubicle after a poo. Thought it was a once-off. Last week, mid-pish, he came in, down the cacks. How can this be addressed? My God. Well, he's either some sort of fucking exhibitionist where he wants people to see his ass and pisser, but I mean, it just seems unnecessary. It seems unnecessary to take your whole fucking cacks down to take a piss. How do you address it? Just take a photo of it, email it to everyone in work, and be like, I've just been me too'd. That is mental. I mean, I'd be more likely to take my whole cacks off to just sit down and piss and go on my phone for 15 minutes. Have you watched Last One Laughing, Amory Docker? Yeah, we covered that. Would you plan on doing Project Mbappe with Eddie or Project Brian O'Driscoll in your case, since you don't follow soccer? From Aaron McCluskey. I tell you what. Obviously, I wouldn't be that sort of pushy parent where I'm like, we're getting them into rugby and we're playing. Eddie does go to rugby tots, mind you, but and he calls everything rugby, so I got him a little football, and he's like, can we play rugby? And what he means is, can we just kick this ball around? Which is kind of cute. But he is he's a fucking high-energy, mad kid, so, like, he'd be fucking on one thing to the next, and there's a bike for Christmas, and he's on the bike for 2 minutes, and then he's off, and then he's doing something else. But he is very locked in when he's kicking balls, and he's quite coordinated with the football kicks. He enjoys putting the wee rugby ball on like a wee tee and kicking it off. But I'll tell you where he is quite scary. The accuracy and distance that he can throw for a four-year-old, like just like that, I feel like taking him to America and getting him into baseball. The guy put the lights out with a fucking tennis ball. You know what I mean? I think even Maureen said that about rugby tots. Like, it usually happens on a Thursday, so I never get fucking going to it. But he will, like, throw something and they'll be like, oh, fair play. You know, casually, like, okay, Eddie, fair play. Just like a quarterback, just winging the ball. I mean, he has broken a fucking LCD TV with a phone. He threw a phone at our old TV and smashed it. So, the guy's got an arm on him. I don't want to get him into cricket. There's no fucking money in that. Get him into Major League Baseball. Like, we'll do a thing where we just, like, I mean, there's a bit of cute, you know, fucking around we do. We're like, he'd take his socks off and he'd be like, look, I have the smelly sock. And he like throw socks. And then I balled them up and I was like throwing them to him. And the guy's, you know, we're down in the in-laws there. He's at the other end of this giant living room. And he's just like, you know, like he's playing fucking, like he might as well have a baseball glove on. He's just like, just completely accurately throwing it at me so I can catch it. And I throw it back. Not so great at the catching. And they pick it up again, throw it right back, same spot. I'm like, what is going on here? Get this man some darts or something. Accurate with a throwing. Let me just skim these questions. Any plans for other content than podcasts this year? Sent you a DM. Oh, okay. I'll get into that in a minute. Yes, that is what I want to do, ultimately. A lot of podcasting, a lot of gigging, a lot of running comedy clubs, which is just eating up a lot of time where I should be faffing about making videos. As a 37-year-old man. How's the darts coming on, Mark Craig? Not great. Let me see. Nigel Gillespie. Absolutely, completely topical and timely question. When you supported Kevin Hart, given they weren't your audience, how did you change your set? Did you tone anything down or tailor it in any way? Nope. Didn't do any of that shit. Just went out and did it. And... you know, it was opening to like a different crowd, especially if it was like Limelight or whatever, different crowd every night. And, you know, you had to do a very specific amount of time. So once you'd worked out what bits added up to fucking 10 minutes flat, you would just fucking sail through that. And, you know, things like the Three Arena, where I went out and did that material, worked very well. You know, I doubt very much that anyone in that fucking crowd knew who I was. Obviously, a few people who traveled down or whatever, but, I didn't change it at all. I don't know if I really have that sort of material, you know. So you do the comedy to at them, you know. You go, fucking take this, whether you like it or not. Bernie Mac style. What did Steve Harvey say? Just took his jokes and ran them in the side of you. That's what you do. You make them laugh, force them into it. Ric Flair was at the Tampa Bay NFL game doing the signature woo. The man's a timeless classic. Is there anything else that will never get old, no matter how much you hear or see it? I mean, you know, I've seen a lot of clips recently of people in the gym of like Ronnie Coleman every time he just, you know, does some 800-pound deadlift, and he's like, "Yeah, buddy." Never not funny, and always appropriate. You know, you go in there to do, you know, 21s on the fucking 10K dumbbells. Yeah, buddy. Zero weight. You know, anything at all. It works. Pick my son up. Yeah, buddy. Lightweight, baby. Never gets old. Why has there not been as much comedian/guests on the General Banter podcasts? I'll tell you why, bro. Because everybody does a podcast with guests. And this is how it started. You do a podcast back in the day, you do it on your fucking own, you rant into the abyss like a lunatic. That's how you do it. And it's my favorite way to do it. I enjoy having a certain group of people on for a bit of a conversation. I enjoy having, you know, Aaron, obviously. That's the other reason, you know, we started Bomb Squad. It's regular. It eats up a lot of time. And I've got to maintain this one too. And I was just like, this is how it started. We started with me just talking. And then we started to get guests. And then it becomes this thing where you go, I'm going to have to organize a guest. And then you start to get fucking lazy or last minute with that. And, you know, you're like, oh, you're up doing such and such's podcast. Do you want to do mine too? And then you end up with fucking everybody's podcast. It's like the same podcast with a different host, with the same guest and a different background. It's like, who the fuck needs to hear any of this shit? And I hate interviewing people. You know, I hate, you know, I've had people on the podcast. I think I've got away with it. But I've had people on the podcast where I'm like, I'm not overly friendly with these people. I am making conversation. And sometimes I've had guests on, and we've recorded for an hour, and I've put that out publicly, and then I've sort of felt like, oh, I still feel like I want to do my own podcast alongside this. Like, I want to talk about my own shit and see where it takes me. You know, sometimes, you know, like last week, there was something I was talking about, and then immediately it sort of wrote itself into a bit, and then I took it on stage at Lavery's. So there's that sort of thing where you don't get to expand on those ideas, really, if you're sitting talking to someone else, being like, oh, what way do you do comedy? You know what I mean? Who gives a fuck? I'll have fucking McCarney and Maureen and Aaron and Mickey and stuff like that as guests. But yeah, I see that continuous. Like Frostbit Boy reached out. He's like, do you want to do a podcast? And terrible impression. And I was like, yeah, sure. Well, you hear my stomach, man? Starving. I was like, yeah, sure. And then immediately, like, just fucking, he was on 12 other podcasts. And I was like, there's no point in me doing a podcast with this motherfucker now. He's going to come on and say the same shit, you know, same agenda that he has on all these other podcasts. So I'm like, there's no point. You want to hear him talk? There's 15 other versions of it out there. So that's it. I enjoy doing podcasts by myself. Sue me. Did you watch, and this is the thing, like, obviously you get a guest on and people kind of want to watch that on YouTube. So the YouTube numbers go way down, but the audio listens go way up. Isn't that strange? So people are like, oh, it's just Geddes talking to himself. I'll stick that on the car. And they do that in their tens of thousands instead of, you know, saving it for nighttime, watching it on screen. I already have a fucking, I have a TV podcast. Bomb Squad is the one you watch visually. And you can listen to this in your car while you're flicking your bean end. Final question, James McLaughlin. Did you watch Dave Chappelle's The Dreamer? P.S. I love that story of your mate jumping onto the bed of pigs. Still laughing at that. Bed of pigs. Did you watch Dave Chappelle's The Dreamer? That's our last question.
Up the raw.
I did watch it. And it was great. I mean, like all those specials, you know, there's always, at the end, there's always some sort of fucking poignant message to fucking get through or whatever. But I watched it and I was like, it's great. And this is when stand-up is like, especially on that level, like actual art and like satire, and people can't deal with that shit anymore. People are like, oh God, he's... So what he did was, he goes off on this big ranting story at the start about like, he was going through, last time he was in that theater, he was recording, was it Killing Him Softly or something? He's going through this big story. He's like, I was stressed out, blah, blah, blah. And Norm Macdonald said, oh, I'm working on a movie at the minute. Do you want to watch, or do you want to meet Jim Carrey? And he goes, yep, absolutely. So then he goes to the set of this movie, which happened to be Man on the Moon, where Jim Carrey plays Andy Kaufman. And he's doing it full method style. So he's pretending to be Andy Kaufman, like off camera, basically. And he was like, you know, he goes up and he's like, hello, Jim. And everyone's like, no, that's Andy. And he's like, you know, this is a guy that he admires and, you know, has followed for years. And he finally gets to meet him, but he has to like pretend like he's a different person. And he goes, as exciting as it was, he was quite disappointed in real life. And he goes, and anyway, I'm telling you all that to say that's how trans people make me feel, right? Because he'd already gotten jip about talking about trans people. Even if it's like well thought through and has, you know, real life experiences to tie to these jokes, people are still like, no, you just can't bring it up. And in that sort of genius way, he's just like, you know, I'm talking to this guy and I know it's Jim Carrey, but I have to pretend that it's fucking Andy Kaufman. And he goes, that's how trans people make me feel. Funny. Place goes wild. And then he jokes about like, and this is where it gets really interesting, where on like the surface level, you would watch it and go, he's a fucking horrible bastard. But he goes, I'm not messing with those people anymore. You know, it wasn't worth it. And he goes, that's why I'm going to make fun of the handicapped. Which is like genius, really. You know, he's like, I'm getting, as I scratch my bollocks there, he's getting jip for like punching down, as he would say. He's mocking the marginalized in society. So he's like, oh, well, if you think that's what I'm doing, let me go for absolutely the most ludicrous thing, which would be making fun of disabled people, you know, who can't help it. Which is funny because you would watch that and be like, oh my God, what a horrible cunt. But it's done in such a funny way. And, you know, that is like satire. He's like doubling down. And then he happens to mention like this senator that was in Washington who was in a wheelchair that he ran into, and he made fun of him a wee bit. And then if you walked away at that point and you were like, ugh, that's gross. If you watched it to the end where Dave Chappelle always has these black and white photo montages at the end, which are great. The fucking dude that he's making fun of in the wheelchair is in the fucking crowd, killing himself laughing. So you're like, it's like, you know, it's nearly like, People would get like mad offended at those jokes. But then you're not really seeing what he's doing, what he's actually doing in real life, sort of backstage or out and about, you know. I thought it was great. And the first, like, maybe the first half an hour of it, I was like, this is so good. The guy is just like playing with his food. He's so good at comedy that he's just faffing about. Some of it's silly, some of it's serious. Some of it's like a big fucking, you know, misleading joke that fucking snaps back into something else. Unbelievable. And I did get a bit fucking, you know, weird at the end, but sure, what can you do? He has put out about 8 specials in the last couple of years, so, and all of them belters. Like, yeah, I mean, Sticks and Stones is a classic. A Bird Revelation is fucking unreal. Age of Spin, which might be the best one. And then there's bits of this one that are absolute screamers too. Like, I don't know. The guy's unreal. It's cool as a comedian to be like, actually watch it. You know, most of your heroes, you're like, oh, I loved Bill Hicks. Or I loved fucking Norm Macdonald. Or I loved fucking Patrice O'Neill. And all these cunts are fucking dead. So you're all going back through there. But it's cool to be like, this guy's one of the greatest of all time. And he's actually alive. And every time he drops a special, it's an actual event and not just like, here's my shit this year. But I like him. It's great stuff. But anyway, we've talked for an hour and 17 minutes. I'm going to GTF the fuck out of here. Yeah. Thanks so much for listening, guys. I don't know. I was getting a lot of messages, people saying they do actually enjoy the solo podcasts. And I enjoy them too. And if you want to hear me talk the another fucking comedian, you may wait. Sorry. Listen to Bomb Squad, you know. We'll get another Patreon episode of the Gender Banter podcast up on a Friday. And yeah, I'll see you later, my guys. Get on that patreon.com/GenderBanterPodcast. We'll throw the podcast up there on a Friday. And I've promised specials for a while. I might wait for the second one to be edited so I can just put 2 specials out. And the whole world can suck my dick, you know? But cheers for listening, my guys. Hope you're well. good luck and fuck you. Congas.com for tickets. Cheers.